Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
I loved The Muppets. That's the Rainbow Connection from the 1979 film, The Muppet Movie. And it was performed by Jim Henson himself as Kermit the Frog. And there's a new documentary out about the life of the famous puppeteer. It's happening later this month. And to tell us about it and all of the other great TV and cinema releases for the weeks ahead, I'm joined in the studio by freelance arts journalist Eva Barry and producer and director Brian Redden. You're both very welcome.
Thank you. Good
to be Muppets fans?
I love the Muppets. Who isn't? Love the Muppets. Grew up watching the Muppets, adore the Muppets, adore Jim Henson. And that documentary looks really, really good. So it's called Jim Henson, Ideas Man. And it's on Disney at the end of this month on May 31st. Actually, the song you just heard, obviously that's Jim Henson's voice. He did Kermit the Frog, you know. If you want your heart to absolutely break this afternoon, Google his funeral. And actually, Big Bird, the guy who plays Big Bird, stands up at his funeral. It's on YouTube and sings that song.
I can't take it.
I think the New York Times, I think the New York Times describe it as unbearably heartbreaking.
Oh God, I'm really crying.
And the actor can't get through it as he sings that song up and says it's just unbelievable. Because Jim Henson was universally loved by people, you know. He was an amazing guy, a puppeteer, obviously, who started off in the likes of, well, in public television, PBS in America, created Sesame Street, The Muppets, Fraggle Rock, Labyrinth, The Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, great body of work.
Have you ever been able to get your children to watch The Muppets?
They tried to watch the new Muppets come out recently. There was a kind of a rehash of it, which wasn't that great, and they didn't really like it. They weren't mad about it.
I tried to get them to watch Fraggle Rock recently.
They weren't having it.
And they were just, and I thought, why can't you see the brilliance of this? They're doozers. Come on.
But you know what they love? They love the Muppet movies.
Okay.
You know, so my kids, like, the Muppet, The Christmas Carol, for example, the one with Michael Caine.
Yeah.
That's just on every Christmas.
I'll try that, but wrong time of year.
Maybe Fraggle Rock is a bit like psychedelic. Like 70s, you kind of have to be in the decades after it to really
spend
understand.
Quite a lot of time polishing radishes, so maybe
the kids of today, they're like, where's the smartphones? What's happening?
Exactly, yeah. But try the first one, the first Muppet movie, that's really, really good. The one you heard that song from, I mean, they'd love that, they'd absolutely adore that.
Well, we go with that, and then we have the documentary coming up at the end of the month on Disney Plus. Jim Henson,
it's amazing, and it's made by Ron Howard. Of course, Ron Howard, you know, he's a very famous director, he's made loads of great movies, but he's also very good at the documentaries. He's done one recently on the Beatles, did one on Pavarotti. And he has the full support of the Henson family. And what's interesting, the Henson family, they don't give him an easy ride, because apparently Henson was very dedicated to his work. He was very, very focused, and his family life, you know,
maybe suffered
as a result. And they're quite open about that. And he died very young, at 53, from a bacterial infection. He had strep throat and he ignored it. Went to hospital and tragically died.
For some reason, I thought he lived a lot longer. Yeah.
So it's shocking. And this looks like, look at the trailer. Again, break your heart. Absolutely beautiful stuff.
Let's watch that one. We'll do a communal watch on that one. Now, your first choice, Aoife, is Shard Lake, which is set in Tudor England. Not a Bridgerton-style period drama. And I heard a review of this on the BBC this week, and they were saying it might be too dark for people, actually visually
it's
dark.
It's so visually dark, whatever. Like, I mean, obviously in the Tudor times, they didn't have electricity, you know, they didn't have beautiful lights lighting up, everything was candlelight. And, you know, there is that lovely idea of trying to evoke the period and giving that kind of muted light. But there is something about whatever they've done kind of maybe digitally or, you know, in rendering it to make it look like a bluey dark colours a lot of the time. And it is set in a monastery because you have a guy called Matthew Shardlake, you know, the title character, the hero of the story. He is sent to investigate a murder in a monastery. It's set, like you said, during Tudor times, so during Henry VIII's reign, where he was, you know, obviously becoming the head of the Roman Catholic Church in Britain, and he didn't want the monasteries to be doing what they were doing. And so he was sending this investigator here at a time when they didn't want him to be coming in, you know, kind of the representative, I suppose, of the crown to be coming in. And you do have a lot of dark and nefarious things obviously happening in this monastery, of people are getting murdered. So that darkness really does evoke that sense of, you know, what's around the corner, who's down here in the basement, you know, the strange behaviour that's going on. I think when you think of a series like this, you might think of of like, I suppose, like a HBO style prestige idea of doing this kind of period drama. But it's like a, you know, it's a lesser version of that. You know, it does have Sean Bean, who's in Game of Thrones, and he's always fantastic in everything. He plays Thomas Cromwell.
He's not in it very much, though.
He plays Thomas Cromwell. So he, at the start, you get a heap of him in the first episode, but he basically sends the character Matthew Shard like to go do his job. Now, interestingly, he's played by Arthur Hughes, who's a really interesting British actor who has a disability, and the character has a disability in the book. And that plays into it because you see how people treat him at this time, where they bless themselves when he passes them.
Yeah.
You know, they're really, there's a lot of prejudice, they're judging him. So he's a really interesting character because he is dealing with the disability, how people see him, but also trying to use this as a way of kind of bolstering himself, saying like, I am this person and I can do this job, and finding strength. So I saw the first episode this morning. It was really interesting. I'm intrigued to see where it goes. Some of the dialogue maybe isn't as great as I thought it might be, but I do particularly like the Tudor period, I think, on screen. It's always really interesting, and they got off to lots of strange and weird things.
So worth a try. Worth a try.
Definitely.
Jury may be out on it, but it is out now. It's out since yesterday, isn't it?
It's on Disney Plus, and the whole series is on there too. So, you know, you can kind of
binge
a couple of episodes and have a binge if you really want a dark Tudor series.
Shard Lake, Disney Plus from yesterday. Now, let's take a listen to this. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building, I might roll a brand new car, cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. I know most of my entire family's going, oh, it's the fall guy.
I know all the lyrics to that. Lee Majors.
He was singing along here.
Well, Lee Majors was my hero growing up. I loved Lee Majors, the $6 Million Man, and then Fall Guy. I mean, it was amazing. And that song, and he actually sings the theme songs, like Minder, you know, the way he used to sing everything. But he does the theme song. So the Fall Guy was a great series, great 80s series with Lee Majors, fantastic actor, with Heather Thomas, who was absolutely gorgeous. Everybody fell in love with her. She was his sidekick. He's a stuntman, obviously, the Fall Guy. But in the TV series, he's also a bounty hunter. So he kind of moonlights as a bounty hunter. Absolutely adored it. Took them a long time to make a movie of it. And when I heard they were making the movie of it, I thought, oh no.
They're going to ruin it.
They're going to absolutely ruin my childhood. The way they ruined Starsky and Hutch. And then I heard it was a comedy. I thought, oh, it's even worse. You remember they took to Starsky and Hutch, took a great series that was kind of dark and brilliant, and they made a stupid comedy out of it. And I thought, stop it, leave it alone. And Lee Majors is still out there and he's still fit and healthy and looks fantastic. He's in his 80s. He's an amazing looking guy. He was like the Elvis Presley of the TV back in the day. A really cool looking dude. He's married to Farrah Fawcett. Everything he touched turned to gold. You know, I thought, you just got a crap all over his memory making this rubbish. And then it comes out and everybody loves it. And apparently it's really, really good. So this film stars Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers. Colt Seavers. You don't get more macho a name than that. It's
like Jodie Marino and Colt Seavers.
It's like Dirk Benedict,
Hollywood,
or Rock Hudson, or Tab Hunter. You love those names. So he's Colt Seavers. Now, I kind of like, there the similarities kind of end, because he's not a bounty hunter in this movie per se. He is a stuntman, and his ex-girlfriend, Emily Blunt, is making a movie, and he gets to work on that movie, and the lead man, played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson, disappears, and she asks Colt, played by Ryan Gosling, to go and find him, to get him back, so the movie's going to go off the rails otherwise. So then what follows is a kind of an action. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw it the other night. I had such good crack. Like, I mean, it's in a way, it's just like, it's like chewing gum action film, but it's exactly what you want, because Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are such great, like, charismatic leads. They make a really good couple. I did notice you didn't always see their, like, lips touch whenever they kissed. I wondered if that was in the contract.
Oh, interesting.
But you do see it at an important part when you want to. But they work really well together.
Yeah.
It's so entertaining. I just felt like I really needed this. I needed to sit here and, you know, hear Ryan Gosling say really funny jokes while just wandering around there in his, with his six pack or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, there's a scene in it where he's supposed to have let himself kind of go and like his version of letting himself go, it's just
I wish it looked like that.
I know, I was like, what? So the film's it's really well done, really entertaining. You know, I think the whole thing about the it also is that it pays tribute to the stunt people. You know, yeah. You see, stay to the end, watch the credits. That's a little bit of a hint. And, you know, it also has lots of movie Easter eggs. So movie buffs will be picking up little bits of dialogue and little jokes and little hints. And so it's really speaking to movie lovers as well.
And the director used to be a stuntman. So he started his life as a stuntman.
It's a homage to
his own life and his own career. And obviously he's a great director. He's done Deadpool 2 and he did
Atomic Blonde
and Bullet Train. So he can do action really, really well. And in fact, the stunts in it are supposedly amazing. And it's in the Guinness Book of Records. It just broke a Guinness Book of Record for the most cannon rolls of a car. Do you know what a cannon roll is? So the cannon roll is like the cannon they keep underneath the car. They blow whatever they blow through the car, which causes it to roll over. This has the most cannon rolls of any car in any movie ever. So even for that, you should go and see.
The Fall Guy.
And I believe Lee Majors makes a cameo in it as well, doesn't he?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So Lee Majors and Heather Thomas from the original TV series
make
a cameo in this as police officers. So it is a little nod to the past.
Well, I missed that.
The Fall Guy is in cinemas from Friday, and we're so excited about that we nearly have no time to tell you about anything else. But Bodkin, I just want to mention this because of the Irish links. This is on Netflix, is it?
Yeah, it's coming up on Netflix. So this is Michelle and Barack Obama's first kind of, their production company, their first kind of scripted drama. Huge Irish connection. Obviously, it's all about, it's set in Ireland. It was shot in Ireland. A huge Irish cast in it. Basically, it's about a group of podcasters and an investigative journalist who rock up to this fictional Irish town called Bodkin, where three people disappeared 21 years ago during the Celtic festival of Samhain, of course. The Angst have to get that in. Weird things happened back then. They're trying to uncover what happened. Weirder things happen now. So it's a bit like The Wicker Man, but it's got a lot of comedy in it as well. Will Forte plays the lead. And Siobhan Cullen, isn't that her name?
Yeah, from The Dry, isn't it?
From The Dry. Yeah. And Obituary plays the investigative journalist that kind of looks down her nose at podcasters but comes along for the ride.
Okay, well, that sounds like it's worth a watch. From the 9th of May. You just picked Unforgotten as well, which is... Yeah. Out a while.
It's out a while, but it's on Netflix. I hadn't watched it. If you really want a lovely police procedural, now I say lovely, but like stories in it are grim, but it's a police procedural where the characters, like Nicola Walker is one of the main characters in it. They're played so beautifully. The stories are treated really well. It's so bingeable and there's only 6 episodes per series. So you can get through it really quickly and it's only 1 case per series.
Yeah, too. I think I watched season 1 of that and I forgot to go back to it, but I am going to go back because it's really enjoyable.
I forgot Unforgotten.
So it's time to
go back and watch. Don't forget to watch Unforgotten.
Make you Unforgotten.
And The Fall Guy. That's the other one we're going to see. Thank you so much to both of you, Aoife and Brian. We look forward to seeing you again soon.